welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Well, thanks. Is that all right? We okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. Morning. Oh.
Sister.
Yes. It's August. How nice is it? Oh, sorry, most of you are still working. Any of the kids here? No school. It's so good. Actually, what's really nice is normally, I don't normally get to see any of you on a Sunday, really, because I'm at Roffey with the kids. So it's quite nice to actually be here and be like, oh, there's other grown-ups that go to this church. I never knew. I didn't know you were here. Cool. Okay. I've got something to share with you from God's heart, really, this morning. When I was praying about what to speak on, God said to me, share what I've done in your life in the last 8 months and talk about my love. So that's what I'm going to do. The first thing I'm going to do before I do any of that is I'm just going to pray, because we don't want to hear anything that's not what God's saying this morning.
Amen.
So, Father God, I thank you that you come and just speak through me this morning, Father, that as I share what you've done in my life, that it would be your truth that is heard. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now I just cut off any spirit of offence that might come in this room, any spirit of judgment or criticism, any spirit of shame or condemnation. We forbid you to even be present in the room right now.
Amen.
And Father, I thank you that your love would come and impact each one of our hearts this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm also going to say, before I even kind of start, if I end up crying, it's okay. Don't panic, I'm all right. But also, if you start crying, this is also okay. Something I've learned in the last 8 months is that God has designed men and women very differently, and that's okay. And that it's all right to cry, and it's all right to feel things deeply, because God has created, particularly women, he has created us to feel things deeply, because that's how he feels. And that we don't have to be strong, and we don't have to be all the time, because actually, that's not necessarily our role. You'll understand as I share. You'll get the picture. Okay, first thing, who's got the Bibles with them this morning? Show me. Prove it. All the kids are good at this. We use our Bibles every week. Okay, can you turn to Romans 8? It's good to get in the habit of actually looking at our Bibles ourselves, because I could tell you what it says, but actually it's much better if you find it and read it, because then you'll remember it more. Romans 8. New Testament, in case you're not sure. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Everybody there? Okay, Romans 8, verse 35. So, who could ever separate us from God's love for us? A love he has so clearly demonstrated already. Do you really think God has forgotten all about you because you experience trouble or find the going tough or because you have to suffer persecution of some kind? Do you really think God has stopped loving and caring for you because there's famine or you're in great need or you're in danger even of losing your life? So that's where we're going to start from. Do you really think God's forgotten you?
No.
He doesn't forget anybody. He knows. He knows who we are, and he knows where we're going and what we've been through. I had a picture from God at the beginning of the year. I need to tell you about another picture first. So there is a style of Japanese bowl fixing, is the only way I can describe it, called kintsugu, I think is how you pronounce it. Andrew, if you could pop that first picture up. So this is what happens. They find a bowl, if there is a bowl that has got a crack in it, and what they do is they fill the crack with gold. So something that somebody thinks is broken and is rubbish and should actually be thrown out because it's got a crack in it now, what they do is they repair it and they fill it with gold. This is something God used to speak to me quite a long time ago, actually, about kind of real true forgiveness. That when something happens in our lives, things can happen and people can say things and people can do things, and we can end up with a crack in our lives that looks like a scar, and it looks like a, well, why would I be any use anymore? Or things can happen to us and we just feel like we've been broken. But actually what Jesus does is he comes and fills the gaps with gold. And he makes it beautiful again. It says in Ecclesiastes, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Just because when we walk through something, it might not feel very beautiful, but he makes it beautiful because he works on our character through things like this. So this is a picture that God gave me quite a few years ago. Basically, to deal with the fact that when you live life with people, they will disappoint you.
Yep.
That's what happens. I disappoint myself. I disappoint other people. Feel like I disappoint God. But it also happens the other way around. You know, when you pray and you pray and you pray for something and then it doesn't happen, and actually there can be that, I feel disappointed with God, actually. And then you can kind of feel a bit guilty because should I feel disappointed with God? I'm not really sure where that fits. But we can feel it. You still feel it. It's an emotion that we can feel disappointed with God. We can feel disappointed with other people when they let us down and they don't turn up when they're supposed to, or they say they're going to do something and then they don't. And there's all of that kind of stuff. And we can feel disappointed with ourselves. But actually, true forgiveness means that God comes in and he repairs with gold something that's been broken. So this picture has been something that's just been like a, yeah, okay, I really run with that. Anyway, beginning of this year, God showed me like a Japanese bowl like this. And I was like, oh yes, I love this. This is such a great picture, God. Before I realised what was actually going to happen in the rest of the picture. So I saw this bowl like this. And it just went like that. And it smashed on the floor. And I was like, ooh, not really sure I like this picture very much, God. What are you saying about my nice bowl that I've had nicely repaired and it was all looking beautiful? You make everything beautiful in its time and now it's being smashed on the floor. This is not a very encouraging picture. We'll show the clip now. Andrew, if I show the first clip. Because I experimented with this to see. Destroy the bowl. There, you can't even like. There were pieces in the grass. I don't even think I found all the pieces. I tried to clear up, but never mind. It absolutely disintegrates. Totally smashed. Totally destroyed. And then what happened next was I saw the pieces of the bowl being gathered back together again. Like this. But I'm going to tell you about what's happened in this last 8 months, and then you will begin to understand. So I saw this picture, and I was like, okay, God, not really sure what that means, but I had a few ideas. I was like, I'm sure what God is saying is this situation will be like this, and that situation will be like that. You realise the more you know God, the less you know about how things are actually going to work out, and the more you have to trust him as you walk it. So I was thinking, this is going to be okay. I can cruise through this. I've got this picture. Right, things might kind of break me, but it's okay because God's going to gather me back together. Not a problem. What I didn't realise was how deep those things were going to go. So over the last 5 years, I have been studying for a degree, and I've finished it this year, which is very, very good after 5 long years. But what started to happen this year is that disappointment thing started to creep in, and I started to feel disappointed that I wasn't achieving a good enough mark. Now, I got good marks. I've come out with a 2-1, which is, I'm pretty happy with that, thank you very much. But there was a point where I looked at my marks and they were slightly less than ones that I already had, and I began to get this like, oh, it's just not good enough. Why am I not good enough to do? It could be up here, but it's not. It's here. And I was disappointed with myself. And I started to kind of get myself a bit worked up about it and like, you know, come on, I can do better, I can do this, I can work harder, I can study more, I can write a better essay, I can all this kind of stuff. But what started to happen was I started to get really, really stressed about it. Like, seriously stressed. Couldn't eat, ended up having like horrendous stomach pains. Went to the doctors about it a couple of times because I was like, I don't know what this is, don't know what's going on, feeling really sick all the time. And ended up having a conversation with a friend and them going, maybe it's stress about your exams and all this kind of stuff. And as soon as I kind of realised what it was, I was able to take it to God. But I felt like that even the kind of hint of beginning to say that maybe this was what was wrong was like being dropped and smashed. And I came before God and I was like, God, I can't do this. I can't sustain a year being like this. It's too much. I can't bear it. And I smashed. But God picked me back up and pulled me back together. And I was like, okay, cool. That's, you know, that's what that picture was about. But no, because there's been several things like that this year. There have been conversations with people and things where I've taken things the wrong way and it's felt like I've just gone on the floor. And things have been said and it's hurt me and I've been smashed on the floor. And things have not been done when I thought they should be done and I've been smashed on the floor. And things have been taken away from me that I feel were good things and were right things and I've been smashed on the floor. And another situation that's happened this year is my great uncle, who's very, very close to my heart. This is where it's going to get teary, but it's okay. He's been diagnosed with dementia. And it's one of those things where you go, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know why this is happening. And every time it's been like a on the floor. But this is what I have discovered. Is that we are not made to fight these battles alone.
Amen. Amen.
Just have a look around the room at the people that are in this room at the moment. Because I guarantee every single person in here has been through battles like you've been through battles this year. Every single one of you has faced something that has left you feeling like you have been smashed on the floor. Some of them are going to be enormous and some of them are going to be little, but it doesn't matter because it does the same thing to all of us and it breaks us. Now, it says in the Bible, there's a couple of verses, and I know this bit in Matthew is Jesus is talking to the Pharisees particularly because he's talking about make a decision what you're going to live for, basically. But he talks about falling on the rock. When you fall on the rock, you'll be broken, but if the rock falls on you, you'll be smashed and you'll be crushed, and that's it. Bit of a depressing verse in some ways, if you take the wrong turn. But there's something so powerful about in the midst of our everything is going wrong, of falling on the rock that is Jesus. But here's something, I love this. It's like, you know when you get those moments of God inspiration and you just go, oh my word, how did I never see that before? I've read that verse and I've gone, yes, amazing, Jesus, when it's hard, I'm going to fall on you. But there is a verse in Matthew that says, on this rock I will build my church. That part of the rock we are to fall on is each other. Is the church, is actually that's what we're here for. We're not fighting these battles alone. We're not going, well, if I'm just good enough and if I put on a front and if I guard my heart against the people that might hurt me and all this kind of stuff, that I'll be all right, I'll be okay. Even if I get smashed, I'll be all right. Actually, God's saying, that's not how I designed you. I didn't design you to be one bowl on a rock. I designed you to be part of a group of people that will support and encourage and champion who you are. The reason I'm telling you this is because I've had to learn this year. And I know for a fact that people quite often look at me and they go, oh, she's tough. Oh, she's got it all together. She's all right. She's dandy, whatever. I'm really not most of the time. Honestly, I get a lot of things wrong. I feel rubbish about a lot of stuff. But at the beginning of the year, when God showed me this picture, he said to me, you need to learn to be vulnerable with people.
That's right.
And I was like, I'm all right, thank you. I'm fine. I'm very happy being not vulnerable and having my guard up. You know, it says in the word, guard your heart. Thank you, that's what I'm going to do. Push everybody else away. And God went, no, you're not guarding your heart in that. What you're doing is putting up a wall of pride.
That's right.
And a wall of self-sufficiency and independence. And that was another moment for me. Okay, thank you, Jesus. But what I realised, what began to happen, when you step out in being vulnerable, yes, people might hurt you. That is true. That is what will happen in some cases. But also, you find answers because Jesus uses people.
That's it.
And if we never talk to other people about what's going on in our lives, we might be missing what he's trying to say to us.
Yeah.
I read an amazing thing in a book recently. Two things about when God speaks. This lady said, one thing, sometimes God doesn't speak, in inverted commas, because he's already said something and we just haven't done it yet. So he kind of is, it's almost like his sentence is just carrying on until we respond.
Yeah.
The other thing is, sometimes he doesn't speak because we're not in relationship with the person that he wants to speak through. And actually, that is so important that we take time to share our lives with each other. Really share. Not just go, oh, how was work? Work was great. Thanks very much. How was your work? Work was great. Oh, brilliant. Thanks very much. See you later. Bye-bye. But actually saying, yeah, work was good. But, you know, I'm struggling a bit with this person at work. You know, not because of particularly anything they're doing, but I just feel like something's happening and I'm not quite sure. I get really angry at them. I'm not quite sure how to work it. Giving an opportunity to the other person in our life to actually then speak to us what God is saying.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing that God has set us in a body that helps and supports each other.
Yes.
That is phenomenal that is his plan. So this last kind of 8 months, this is the journey that I've been on, of realising that I need him, but that I need other people.
Yeah.
And what I'm not talking about is, it's not like a, I know we can all get in things like this. I've been there. I've got it wrong. Where you just go on a whinge and a negativity and a rant and then it gets critical and judgmental and you just, everybody feels rubbish by the end of the conversation. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, you know those bits of your heart where you go, if I dare to speak this to somebody, what will they think?
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Because, okay, let's talk about that later. I'm trying to be real this morning because I don't just want to go like, oh, here's an airy-fairy idea. I want to go, this is reality of what has happened in my life, because I know you can step into the same freedom as well. So, I'm quite like, you know, I think women should be up there doing things, get involved, all that kind of thing. I think it's great when you see women who are really involved in stuff. But I also have a little bit of a thing about, you know, kind of sexist comments and jokes and things like that. I really don't like them. And there's been a few situations this year where it's struck a nerve in me, like made me go on the inside and get really angry and really frustrated about it. And one of the things God has been teaching me is, you know, I don't know, people say this a lot, but why? Why did that reaction come out of me? Not, I don't actually care why the other person said it. That's not important. What's important is why did my heart respond like that? What is going on in me? And so these situations have happened and I've gone, okay, God, why? Why is that having that response in me? And here's the interesting thing. When you ask Jesus, he shows you the things that you can't see.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm sure it's because, you know, I'm just this kind of person or I'm whatever. It was not that at all, right? This is me being a bit vulnerable with all of you now, okay? Right, this is what Jesus revealed to me. He showed me somewhere deep in my heart, there was a little tiny piece of me that was saying, women are weak. And I was like, what? No way, that is not even what I think. I don't think that, Jesus, that is not what I think at all. And it was the same voice going, somewhere in your heart, you have let in something that says women are weak. I was like, okay. I don't know where that came from. I don't know how that got there, but I don't want that to stay.
Amen.
And so I went on this little journey with God of going, well, God, if that's in me somewhere, then I need to know what your answer for that is. Because actually what you say about women and who I am, actually, that's what it ended up being about, was who I am. Because I didn't think about anybody else, I thought it about myself. That I needed to find out, who did he say that I am? Who does he say that women are? How does he honour women? How does he honour who I am as a person? And as I discovered it, this hint of anything disappeared. It would be totally different things for you, I am positive. There are probably some of you in this room going, I can't believe you even thought that. But that's the way it works. There are things in our hearts that are hidden there because we don't know they are. Until we ask Jesus, then he can show us. I work a lot in pictures. It's how God speaks to me. So this is what he showed me. There's a reason why this is in a bag, because it's poisonous. This is a pot of Marmite. Very contained. So not to get on anything. I hate Marmite with a passion. Can you tell? So when I was thinking about this message this morning and what to say, and God said about this thing of things being hidden in our heart that we don't know about. It's not that it's a secret sin, so you know you're doing something wrong and you go, oh, whoops, probably shouldn't. It's something that you don't know about. Okay? Now, my mum loves Marmite. She adores it, absolutely adores it. So I'm not saying Marmite is evil. I'm using it as an illustration, okay? It probably is evil, though, but... So my mum has a pot at home which has got teaspoons in, but it's an old Marmite pot because she really does love Marmite. And she puts these teaspoons in it. And I went to stay at theirs, this must be a couple of years ago now. And I was like, oh, making a cup of tea, lovely, lovely. Stirred my tea with a teaspoon, whatever, put it all away. Went and drank my cup of tea and I was like, I can smell Marmite. And my mum was like, what? I was like, I can smell Marmite. And she was like, don't know what you're talking about. I was like, in my tea? Nope. Like, where is it? Where is the Marmite? I can't find it anywhere. I was like, maybe it's just me. I'm just imagining it. Sat down, watched TV, and I was like, no, I can smell it. I hate it so much that even the smell of it makes me be like, it's horrible. Okay. I was like, I can smell it. I need to find where it is because I need to get rid of it. I can't have that on me anywhere. Anyway, I discovered right in the middle of my hand, in the crack of one of my lines on my hand, was the tiniest little bit of Marmite that had come off the end of the spoon and it was on my hand. I've never scrubbed my hand so hard in my whole life. Get it off me! Oh, it didn't smell afterwards, thankfully. But why? What's that story got to do with anything? I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was wrong. But when I found it, it was really easy to clean it off and just get rid of it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about Marmite. My mum would never serve me Marmite because she knows how much I hate it. So if we imagine just for a moment, Jesus doesn't like Marmite. How silly would I be to go and worship Jesus with Marmite on my hands? Because he'd be like, I really love you and I really want to come and spend time with you, but oh, that smell is so gross. that we need to get it cleaned off. And like I said, some of those things, we don't know what they are. We don't know where they are. We don't know where they've come from. So we have to ask Jesus and go, Jesus, show me what it is, because I don't like this reaction. I don't like what's happening in me. And as soon as he shows us, just clean it off. Thank you, Jesus, that you take that out of my life. And it gets sorted. So there's the Marmite. Ooh! It's a bit higgledy-piggledy what I'm saying, because I'm trying to convey, get across the message of what it is that Jesus wants us to be together. That, you know, it's our responsibility to ask about the Marmite situation. Somebody else can't do that for you. But what you can do is you can go to somebody and go, I've got this problem with this Marmite. I don't know how to get it off. And actually somebody else is going to be able to say, oh, don't worry, I've cleaned Marmite off before. We can do this, we can sort this. That's why we need each other. That's why we have to be in community with each other. That's why we have to share life. True, real life situations, not airy-fairy, lovely Christian, let's exaggerate or be a bit false. Let's be real, let's be honest, let's be true. So that actually what can happen is that God can come in. Andrew, can we have this second video, the together one? I'll skip the other one. So this is the other bit of the picture. Once it had been smashed, that this is what happened. Aren't you amazed by my skills there? So proud of myself. But actually, it went even better than that. And it got fixed. But maybe not in the way that we would think it would be fixed. Because actually, when God walks us through a situation where we get smashed and we get broken, he takes the opportunity to work things in our character and to take out bits that he doesn't want to be there and to keep the bits that he does want to be there. So this is the end of the picture that he gave me, and I purposefully didn't tell you it earlier because I wanted to show you. Remember Pastor Colin's teapot picture? Yeah. Teapot, take the lid off. Okay, this is Jesus' version for me. I don't get to be a teapot, I get to be a smash bowl. But the idea is the same, and you'll see what I mean. Okay. So what happens when you're a bowl is that you get filled up and then you overflow, right? What happens when you're a smash bowl is that while you're being filled, you pour out what is being put in. So it literally doesn't hold anything. But I just love that picture so much. I just love it. Because actually what I thought was brokenness and what I thought was destruction in my life and the things that have hurt and the things that have made me cry and the things that have really broken my heart in a lot of situations. Like, there's been times this year where I've literally sat with God and I've gone, my heart is breaking and I don't know what to do. But I remember this picture and Jesus saying to me, it's okay, because let me pour in. And out of the brokenness, I will pour out into other people's lives. Whether that's the people that you are sharing stuff with and you're going, I don't know how to do this, that they're pouring stuff into you, or whether it's through the stories of what you've been through or the things that you've walked, that you're then able to share things with other people. But I think Pastor Clive said fairly recently in somewhere, I forget because I'm all over the place all the time, I never know when things happen, but he said about mentoring and discipling people. Do you know the key to that? You just have to be one step ahead. Just one step ahead and holding on to Jesus. And you can lead somebody through the steps you've just walked. Because actually what happens is when we're broken and God holds us back together and pours in his life, those things that we've just walked through can be life for somebody else. And can give hope to somebody else. And freedom to somebody else. Rather than them just feeling like they've been destroyed and there is no answer. Like, one of my very, very close friends is not a Christian yet, and her dad has been diagnosed with cancer. And what is fascinating about this whole situation is it's horrendous. Like, it's a horrendous situation to look at it on the surface. But what's been happening with my great uncle is similar and is one step ahead. So even though she's not a Christian, there are things that I'm now able to identify with her on and go, I really understand how hard that is because of what I've walked through in the last 8 months. Which I'm like, this is crazy. Like, absolute madness when you look at it. But Jesus loves to work in the madness of life and bring everything out to make it good. It's what he does. It's what he does. I'm going to read you this verse from 2 Peter. You know, have you ever read verses in the Bible and you go, how have I never read this verse before? Why did I not know this was in here? This is amazing. Absolutely amazing verse. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I feel like some of you really need to hear this morning, that you have been broken and broken and broken and broken because God said things and you haven't seen them happen. This is what it says. The Lord is not slow in fulfilling his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to be destroyed, but desiring that all men turn to him in repentance. The Lord is not slow in fulfilling his promises, as we understand slowness. He is faithful to everything he has promised you, whether that is about your family or your job or your house or your life. He is not slow in fulfilling his promises. He is faithful. And the places where you feel that you are broken because of what's happened, remember that that's the place where his life can come through.
Amen.
And that's where you can affect other people and you can receive from other people as well. You doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We're going to respond to God because that's all you can do in a situation like this, hey? Some of you might feel like you're on the top of a roller coaster right now. That's the other way I've described this last 8 months. It's like, I hate roller coasters. They make me feel sick. But you know when you go up a roller coaster and then you sit on the top and it's like, oh, amazing view. This all feels great. I feel wonderful. And then you begin to tip and you go, oh, my word, what am I doing? And you plummet right down to the bottom. And there's that. You can't stop that. There's nothing that stops it. But then there's rest again when you come back up.
Yeah.
And there's that rest of being at the top of what God's doing. Some of you might feel like you're at the top or you're on the way up. Others of you might feel like you're in that screaming bit on the way down or that you're at the bottom and you've just smashed into a million pieces. I don't know where you are, but God does. And he knows the details and the intricacies of each of the situations that you're in, the stuff that's been hard, the stuff that's been easy. He knows all of it. And he's faithful in every situation.
Amen.
The last thing that God showed me, this is what we're going to kind of respond to him with. Isaiah 35 talks about the highway of holiness and that the righteous walk on it. And I was like, okay, God, that's nice. Lovely. The righteous walk on it. I don't always feel like I'm very righteous. I don't always feel like I'm getting stuff right. But I've never considered what's either side. Like, this sounds a bit strange to be bringing this up now, but like I've kind of thought about, you know, is it hellfire and brimstone on either side and you balance your way across the way of holiness and try not to fall off? But what Jesus showed me was actually it's about how we live our lives in our character. It's about our hearts. It's always about our hearts. That's what God's interested in, is about our hearts and our motivations with stuff. But the things you find on the highway are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, honesty, faith, hope, joy, more joy. There's so much joy on that highway, you have no idea. Gladness, rejoicing, perseverance. That there's something about when we walk in the way that God has set for us, there is more than enough. There is more than enough. But he also showed me what are the things either side. And this morning, I think what we need to do is, maybe where we've been in some situations and things like that, is that we need to come back to God and say sorry for how we've tried to be a bit independent, because that's off the side of the highway. Or we've been negative, or we've doubted what he's said. We've had a lack of faith because we're not sure if he would actually pull through. When you've been in despair, despair's kind of when you tip off the highway and you just end up being like, oh, well, what's the point anyway? I'll never get back up there, will I? That kind of thing. Jealousy, being angry about things. Unforgiveness. More specifically, what God said to me was about keeping records of wrong. Because we so often forget that that's actually what unforgiveness is. It's not just going, oh, I can't forgive them. It's going, yeah, I've forgiven them. Do you remember that time you did that thing? And that's off the highway. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be there. Judgment. Harsh words. That's like the opposite of kindness, isn't it? Where we just let stuff fly out of our mouths. I always regret when I say something and I'm like, oh, that was not what Jesus would say. But you can't take it back. But you can ask for forgiveness. Pride, criticism, exaggeration and being false. That's actually something God really pointed out to me about. If you're on the highway, it's about honesty. Yeah. Being honest doesn't mean you've lost your faith. It means you can have both. You can say this is hard, but I'm believing that. Amen. There's a difference there. It's not just going, well, what's the point? But it's also not going, yes, everything is fantastic. I'm really living in the victory. When you really don't feel like you are at all, it's okay to say, I'm struggling, but I'm believing that I'm overcoming. But do you hear what I'm saying? There's a difference in how we might be saying things, that God just wants to realign a few things this morning so that actually we rely on each other and on him, and that he is able to bring us back together where there's been things that have been broken. So first thing we're going to do to respond to God is, if you already know there's something that I've said this morning that you're like, yep, I need to ask God to forgive me for that, then we're going to do that first. And you're just going to do it really simply. Just close your eyes where you are. Just say it to God. Father, would you forgive me for whatever it is? Thank you that you forgive me. And I don't want to live like that anymore. It doesn't take long. God's so good. As soon as we ask, he does it straight away. And now you're going to take authority over any lie of the enemy that's coming in and saying, oh, but you did it wrong several times. You should be ashamed of that. We're not having any of that thinking. Second thing, you need to ask Jesus, some of those things, those reactions that you've been having because of a little bit of Marmite in your heart. And you need to ask Jesus, what is it? Don't go digging, don't go searching, don't try and root something out, or it must be this that's the issue. Jesus will show you. And you will quite probably be surprised, because it won't be the thing you think it is. But as soon as he shows you, Jesus, I don't want that to be part of my heart anymore. I don't want that to be part of my thinking, part of my life. I just give that over to you now. You need to make sure that you speak and put it into action, because confessing it is what brings it into the light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, third thing. You can all look at me, because you're all going to slightly hate me for saying this. I'm going to challenge you to be vulnerable with the people on your table and to tell them what you just prayed. Because part of the step of us being a united body is that we expose our weakness, because where we're weak, he is strong. And actually, I think we really need to get to a point where we stop hiding our weakness. Is it okay to say that?
Yeah.
Because that's part of what makes it so great that we've got Jesus. It's because we're not very good at some of these things. And actually, it's okay to say, hey, this is an area that I'm weak in and I struggle in. Because then you find that people will support you in that, rather than you just going, oh, I struggle because I'm just so weak in this area by yourself. So, be bold. Be brave. Turn to the person next to you. And in one sentence, if you can, tell them, what is it that you have just gone, yep, this is something I need to get sorted, or this is something God's just challenged me on, or this is an area that I'm weak in. Off you go. Be bold. Remember, is you're not focusing on the negativity of maybe what you're not very good at, but just kind of saying, yep, hold my hands up, not great at that point. I'm going to give you 30 more seconds. So if you haven't shared and you want to, grab somebody at the end and tell them. Okay. I've got three verses to share with you just as we finish. So what is that all about? Why did I make you do that? Because the thing I've come to realise is the stuff that God puts in us. So me going, right, let me take you back to the beginning of the year, okay? I was going, oh, well, there's nothing for me. There's, you know, I just get on and I do the kids' work, and but, you know, I don't go to any of the other stuff. Like, I don't get anything from it because I'm always giving out, being honest, okay? And God said to me, if you don't make the first step and be vulnerable with other people, you don't give them permission to do the same with you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Which is why he led me on that journey of actually opening up my heart to people and opening up my life to people in a new way. Because actually what it's meant is that as I've been vulnerable, other people have been vulnerable, and we've grown together.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Really simple, boils down to one verse. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, because you love one another, because you look out for one another, because you go to one another, hey, how is that thing actually going in your job now? You've all just told each other something. That now means that you are all accountable to each other, to look out for each other. So next time you see that person in church, go up to them and say, hey, you know that thing we prayed about last week, or that you prayed about, how's it going? Be honest. Let's pray about it now. Let's talk about it now. What are we going to do about it? Rather than just kind of going, well, that's nice you've told me that. Thanks. Shut the door. Like, no. Stay open with each other. Stay honest with each other so that we can grow together. The other verse says, John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my command. So love one another.
That's good. Come on.
So simple when you look at it like that, but this is what it means. It means, sorry, it's all wet now. It means holding the bowl together for somebody else sometimes, and then letting them hold you, and being together in that army that we support each other. Last verse. Oh, my hands are wet. So, love one another. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18 says, Timothy, my son, I'm going to change that. I'm going to say Kingdom Faith, my son. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So that you understand this is for you. So Kingdom Faith, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck in regards to faith. We don't want to be a shipwreck people at all. We don't want to lose anybody from the faith because actually we haven't listened to the command from Jesus to love one another and to hold each other into that army and fight that battle well. So I'm leaving you with that this morning. I challenge you, as God has challenged me this year, stay vulnerable, stay open with people, love one another, and actually let's grow together. Don't hide behind walls of exaggeration and of falsehood, but let's be open and actually see this church grow and blossom in the way that God is wanting it to at the moment. That's it. That's all I've got. I'm out.
Sarah, thanks so much for being really honest and really vulnerable.
Okay.
This morning is absolutely brilliant. Let's thank Sarah, shall we, for just sharing the word, her heart, her life. It's brilliant. One of the things that God showed me, I was kind of aware of this, but he kind of just reiterated this morning, was I have quite a high expectation of myself. And in terms of just lots of stuff, and therefore I expect that of other people in all kinds of situations. And what God said to me is, Clive, you know, don't put people under pressure because you have a high expectation of yourself and how you in yourself, how you want things done, all that kind of stuff. So for me, that's something I sort of just need to pray through a bit more. But I don't want people to live under pressure, or I communicate that in any way, you know, in any situation, whether it's from here or another situation where, you know, somebody's not meeting the standard or they're not good enough or anything like that. But it starts with what's happening in me, because if I have a high, if I expect something of myself, but that's rooted in a wrong expectation of myself, then obviously I'm going to, if I live in that in some way, then I'm going to communicate that, because what's going on in you, you communicate, didn't you, when you don't realize it some of the time. So if anybody's felt under pressure or you haven't met the standard of whatever that might mean for you because of anything I've said or how I am or on behalf of anybody else who said stuff from here, then I'm sorry and I apologize. And none of us should live under pressure because of anybody else's expectation, because God doesn't put us under a wrong pressure, to have to live up to something. That's why he came and died for us, because we can't reach him in our own strength, and he's done something on our behalf. There is a right pressure of God in our lives, But that's another story, you know, in terms of him working and moving in our lives. So, brilliant. You guys are amazing.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.